Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 9th of July, recording at 9:15 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, let's have a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets. In our two-tier market structure, they are definitely firmer, well, for the most part, than the European and North American stock markets. And China, which really over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I don't think it's had more than one day on the downside at any time, and not many of those, but remains extremely steady and is actually closed on its high today and near its high of a couple of days ago. Elsewhere, European stock markets closed out with modest gains here across the board, and that was also true of Wall Street, which spent most of the day in the minus column, but only marginally so. I see among the resources, among the resources markets that Brazil had gone a little lower, but it's closed here today, and Canada and Mexico, I can see on my screen, are stronger. Long-dated government bonds encountered some profit-taking here today. The U.S. long bond is currently down 121. And U.S. dollar, which has been strong in recent days, well, let's put that in perspective, rallied to the upper side of its trading ranges, narrow trading ranges, gave up some ground here today. Precious metals, well, they seesawed a little bit. Gold and platinum closed out with modest gains. Gold bullion's at 912.62 as I speak. Silver's unchanged. Okay. And, well, crude oil seesawed a little bit, broke down to, on spot crude, broke down to 59.25, but is back just above, is 60.53 here right now. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, again, I've referred to the two-tier markets on a number of occasions, including in my introduction. So the markets that had bottomed out in October and November, those are mostly Fuller Money themes, ranging from China-led Asian emerging markets to the resources markets of South America. Also the technology themes. For instance, in Europe, I think I'm correct in saying that all the stock markets hit their lows in March, as did Wall Street, except for the Swedish OMX market, which has a higher tech weighting. Now, so, again, all these markets really, save China, showed a loss of momentum last month and then spilled over into corrections. And most of the OECD markets broke back beneath those June reaction lows that I had been mentioning, saying that breaches of those would open the doors to further reactions and quite possibly corrections. So that's where we are right now. But having seen stock markets fall 4 or 5 days on the trot in here, technically they're a wee bit oversold. Some of them have pulled back towards levels that could offer a little bit of support. But as I see it, and as we see it here, talking about Owen and myself, we think that probably the best we're going to get here over the short term would be an extension of the trading ranges. Now, having said that, China has been a standout in doing considerably better than that, but it has also been accelerating somewhat. So when China joins the general overall correction, we are likely to see either a big candlestick tail left on the upside, in other words, a strong rally that it can't hold on an intraday basis, or we will just see a downward dynamic, which is would be a bigger down day than most of the up days that we've seen recently. Or we would see at least two consecutive days on the downside to indicate that selling pressure was catching up with demand. We would expect to spot the turn and to comment on it, and I think it will be significant when that does take place, because right now the China leash effect is very important, particularly in the Asian region, understandably. And it's important in economic terms because the more China's stock market is booming and we see good news in terms of GDP growth, mind you, all occurring at the cost or in response to a massive state-directed monetary stimulus, which is not sustainable over the long term. But this was an even more dramatic event attempt to jumpstart China, albeit from a stronger overall position than the attempts to jumpstart other economies around the world, and it's met with some success. But the point I'm making is about this leash effect. It is partly economic in the sense that China is so big that that would suck in imports, particularly from the commodity producing countries in China's sphere, and it would be Thailand, Indonesia, the Philippines, Malaysia, and also niche suppliers of industrial parts and software such as Singapore would also benefit from that. The whole region would. And as I've said before, as I've written, all eyes are focused on China, and that it carries really the optimists' views regarding the global economy. So as and when China spills over, if only into a reaction and consolidation, that is likely to have a negative effect on regional stock markets and quite possibly beyond. So we do want to watch out for that. And not surprisingly, with China doing so well, the valuations are no longer cheap. I think the price-earnings ratio is probably up around over 30. And analysts taking their cue from the stock market are bumping up their earnings estimates for China. I think they're looking for gains. I read somewhere that they're looking for gains of on the order of 30% in terms of corporate profits for China in 2010. Well, we will see. They will certainly be higher than they are this year for most industries. But meanwhile, there's a little bit of a disconnect in that 2010 is nearly 6 months away, and we have this overextended stock market in the short term. And that's not a argument to go rushing out and sell China. I'm not going to sell any of my China positions, but it is a good argument to defer purchases, additional purchases, I would say. And we also need to be aware of the influence that it will have on other stock markets. Now, Wall Street also has a leash effect, and really seeing a break below the June reaction lows by the main Wall Street indices, again, as I said, that has opened the door to an additional reaction and possibly correction and base formation extension phase. But in the very short term, Stock markets are technically a wee bit oversold. You could bring up the stochastic indicators, for instance, in the chart library to see that for any of the indices that you're monitoring. Now, equally, long-dated government bonds are a wee bit overbought here following a good run. This is in terms of their short-term technical picture, particularly JGBs. When Owen showed me that chart this morning, I thought, and I hadn't seen it for a few days, I thought, gosh, I really should be shorting those, but it was too late in the day for me to do that because the London market facility for that was closed. But the JGBs do look like a short-term trading short to me. And I think they're only short-term trades in this market right now, and it's not an easy environment overall. Say we have this choppy ranging environment generally. Now the dollar, this is really quite interesting because the dollar had firmed to the higher side of its comparatively narrow ranges and has run into some resistance here. That's not too surprising. If the dollar is weak tomorrow, it would probably indicate a retest of the lower side of its range if the dollar finishes tomorrow soft, and then by finishes I mean through the U.S. Through the U.S. close generally. When Owen and I were talking about the U.S. dollar in this range, we could only come up with the possibility that, let's say that perhaps the stock market sector does see that deeper reaction and correction, which is quite a high possibility, as I've said repeatedly, that might continue to have that knee-jerk response effect on the U.S. dollar, possibly justified by the fact that U.S. investors might pull more money back home, having invested in more in overseas markets recently. But I do not take it as a given that the dollar will always strengthen. I mean, this is when stock markets are a bit weaker. I think this is a temporary factor here overall. So the U.S. dollar, there's the possibility that it could firm further if stock markets are quite weak. I think almost certainly the dollar would weaken as and when stock markets are steadier once again. And there is also the possibility that the U.S. dollar could just weaken even against the background of softer stock markets, although that has not been the case recently, as I have just mentioned. But expect that eventual disconnect. I'm not looking for any big dollar collapse, but the chances are that most of that technical action indicates a dollar topping out and finding temporary support from a previous low, but likely to work a bit lower over the next few months, if not sooner than over the medium term. Crude oil is interesting, and also the industrial metals, because they have weakened, and the foods have weakened, although some of them were steadier in here today. But the grain and bean complex has pulled right back down into what are probably developing base formations. The industrial metals have lost a little bit of upside momentum and have been ranging. The precious metals, as you know, have been softer generally, although I suspect they are quite near to important lows. I suspect that. There's no proof of it at this stage, and that would require some very clear dynamics on the upside. So, moving on to crude oil, having seen that ranging just above the $70 level. I think it got up to over 73 at one stage. That's now back down in the 60 area. We can definitely see that commodity inflation, which was very apparent with the help of that quantitative easing as a source of fuel for it, that is no longer a growing concern. Commodity prices generally are currently in retreat. And an important point that I've made both yesterday and today, I feel, is that against that background, if stock markets are generally soft and commodity markets are clearly off the boil, as we see right now, if GDP growth and employment figures continue to disappoint, and there's quite a high possibility of that, then I don't feel that monetary and fiscal authorities would have any hesitation in going in with a further stimulative package. I should also bring in the long-dated government bond yields, because although they've fallen back a little bit too steeply in the short term, and the important point is that they're not showing some dramatic upward trend right now. That boiled over back in early June as well. So in terms of those signals, taking all those signals together, I'll repeat the point that monetary and fiscal authorities, both within the OECD countries and elsewhere if necessary, I think would feel that they could go in with more stimulative packages to stave off deflationary pressures and to encourage some growth. And in the nature of these things, it would be that additional stimulative package that would create the fuel for a bit more optimism in terms of global stock markets following this consolidation that we're now seeing. And the same can be said for commodity markets. So trying to wrap that all up for you, I see a ranging sort of soft period for the stock markets and commodity prices in the short to medium term, but picking up again in some point in the I would say late in the third quarter and almost certainly in the fourth quarter of 2009. And I think that's the main points in terms of what I wanted to cover with you. So I'll just wrap up by saying, as I usually do, all the very best to all of you.